Welcome to our service for Palm Sunday. Again, it's one of those Sundays when there's only really one hymn to begin with. Ride on in majesty. Hark, all the tribes, Hosanna, cry. O Saviour Christ, pursue thy road, with palms and scattered garments strode. From today's psalm, Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Darlleniad o lyfr y proffwyd Esaia. Rhoes yr arglwydd yw i mi dafod un yn dysgu, i wybod sut i gynnal y diffygiol a gair, bob ore a mae'n agor fy nghlist i wrando fel un yn dysgu. Agorodd yr arglwydd yw fy nghlist, ac ni wrthwynebais innau na chilion ôl. Rhoddais fy nghefn i'r cyrwyr am cernau eu rhai a dynau'r farf. Ni chyddias fy wyneb rhag gwaradwydd na ffoer. Yma'r arglwydd ddiw yn fy nghynnal. Am hynny, ni chaf fysarhau. Felly gosoda fy wyneb fel callestr, a gwn na'm cywilyddir. Yma'r hwn sy'n fy nghyfiawnhau wrth law. Pwy a ddadlau i'm herbyn. Gadewch i ni wynebu'n gilydd. Pwy am gwrthwyneba. Gadewch iddo nesau ataf. Yma'r arglwydd ddiw yn fy nghynnal, pwy am condemia. Dyma air yr arglwydd. The second reading is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes I look back at earlier addresses, what I said on the same Sunday in earlier years. Occasionally there's an address you can dust off and use again somehow, at least in part. But when I looked back at earlier addresses for Palm Sunday, it was quite revealing. Most especially the address for Palm Sunday 2020. We were into lockdown at that point, with no clear idea of how long it was going to be. If you'd told us then that on Palm Sunday 2022 we would still not have completely emerged from the COVID restrictions, I don't think any of us would have believed you. As it is, our churches are emerging at slightly differing speeds, depending on the feelings of the congregation. On Easter Day, for the first time for many months, we will be allowed to drink from the common cup at communion. This has raised eyebrows. Intuitively, I think we all thought that it would be the last of the restrictions to be removed, but it hasn't been. We are assured that the risk is very small. I know, though, that many members of our congregations will still feel uneasy about drinking from the same cup as everyone else. So we will still, of course, offer the option of just receiving the wafer. Nonetheless, it will still be an especially joyful occasion for me. Of all the restrictions under which we've been living, the one that I've found most irksome is the restriction on sharing the chalice in communion. In particular, it goes against everything I believe about ministry that the priest should be the one person to whom the chalice is available. If I could have found a way to make a lay person the sole recipient, I would, but because it had to be me that consecrates the wine, that wasn't possible. As it is, I will be so pleased to be able to share the cup again. It is still recommended, bizarrely, that I should be the one person who handles the cup, so that the people receive without taking the cup themselves. Presumably, therefore, administration would still be by the priest alone. I haven't quite decided about that yet. I know, though, that I speak for many when I say that in the early days of our being back in church, I would quickly have moved to individual disposable cups so that everyone could take the wine. But the Church in Wales set its face against that. The rationale given was that it is essential that we all share one common cup. I don't really agree with that, if the alternative is that we don't receive the wine at all. In particular, also, I don't see why it only applies to the cup. Why is it all right to have individual wafers, not broken from a common loaf, but not all right to have individual glasses with wine which would at least have been poured from a common flask or jug? Wafers are easy, though, of course. You can keep them for months and they don't go stale, there are no crumbs, no need to break them, and so on. But my preference would always actually be for a morsel broken from a common loaf, which is what happened, so far as we can tell, at the Lord's institution of the Holy Communion. But in fact, COVID has begun a number of interesting conversations about how we receive communion. Again, it will now be possible for us to come up to the communion rail to receive, perhaps still a little more widely spaced than usual, but still coming to the rail and kneeling or standing to receive, as we've always done. And for some people, that will be hugely important. For them, that movement, that sense of approach to the altar, is an important part of taking receiving communion. A sacrament, the Catechism teaches us, is the outward and visible sign of an invisible and spiritual grace. And in that sense, for these folk, the physical movement of going up to the altar is sacramental too. My approach to the altar reflects the spiritual reality that I am moving closer in my heart and mind to the Lord. That feeling of spiritual approach is at the heart of the meaning of Palm Sunday, as Jesus makes his final entry to Jerusalem, approaching the holy city. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read that King David danced with joy before the Lord, danced with all his might, as the Ark of the Covenant was brought to its home in the holy city. In the book of Psalms, we read many great songs of ascents, the psalms for pilgrims to say and sing as they approach the city, the inner courts of the temple, and the presence of the Lord in the Holy of Holies. In the book of Isaiah, we read the prophecies of the great highway by which God will bring his people home to Jerusalem, over every valley lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And finally, the prophecy of Zechariah, which is fulfilled in the sight of all the people when Jesus enters Jerusalem. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus has approached Jerusalem before, of course, but this final approach to Jerusalem is, in the best sense of a word that familiarity has done to death, this final approach to Jerusalem is truly awesome. Like the children of Judah returning to their home along the straight highway prophesied by Isaiah, riding the ass's colt prophesied by Zechariah, across the valleys lifted over the mountains and hills made low, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem to bring hope to the prisoners, to speak peace to the Gentiles, and to establish his dominion from sea even to sea. Straight as an arrow aimed at the heart of empty worship, straight as an arrow aimed at the heart of false religion, straight as an arrow aimed at the heart of hypocrisy and self-righteousness, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem to die. It is an act of spiritual warfare. Who is this that comes from Edom, from Bozra in garments stained crimson? Who is this so splendidly robed, marching in his great might? It is I, announcing vindication, mighty to save, says the Lord. Jesus clearly knows, and his disciples also know, the risk that he is running. As they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, says Mark, Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And in John, Thomas says simply to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus' entry to Jerusalem is an act of bravery then, but also, as the donkey indicates, it is an act of deep humility. Jesus knew what he was risking, of course, everyone did, but I'm not sure he knew exactly how it would turn out. What distinguishes Jesus during his earthly life is not so much his omniscience, not that he knows everything, but rather that he submits everything, everything, to the will of his Father. Perhaps it is his John who makes clearest to us Jesus' knowledge that Jesus knows that this is what he has to do. The darkness is coming, but while it is still daylight, he must walk the way which he has been shown, laying down his will before his Father. Not my will, but thine be done. It isn't given to us to know how things will turn out in the life of faith. We can only know that this is the light we have been given, and we must walk in it, leaving the consequences to God, but trusting that our ultimate destiny is in his hands. Paul writes that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And again, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Amen.
Survey the wondrous cross.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by David. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Enta de renoite na nevaith, sancte dia de enu, de led de dernas gunele de wichlis, megis an an air vechli ar a ddear hefyd. De ran I heddiw en bara beinyddiol, y madda I ni en dyledion fel y maddewn I na en dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg, Canu sydd o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Let us bring to the Father our prayers of intercession through Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. For grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity there may grow a rich union in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who make laws, interpret and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who still make Jerusalem and this world a battleground, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And still more, for those who have the courage and honesty to work for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who, weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who attempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. Amen.
Come down, O Lord.
And finally, the Lenten blessing. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.